The United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is in Cairo this morning, hoping to make progress on securing a truce in Gaza. More than 800 Palestinians have been killed since Israel began its military offensive. 33 Israelis have died. Yesterday, at least 15 people were killed when a UN-run school was shelled. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that while he regretted each Palestinian civilian death, they were the responsibility of Hamas. Meanwhile, there's been criticism of the decision by Ireland to join other EU countries in abstaining from a UN vote on the conflict. The resolution before the UN Human Rights Council called for the setting up of an investigation into allegations of Israeli war crimes in Gaza. The Minister for Foreign Affairs, Charlie Flanagan, is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, Rachel.
This abstention has stirred considerable anger, with Fianna Fáil's Éireann Power describing it as utterly shameful. Why did Ireland abstain?
Well, there were two issues involved here. Firstly, due to the urgency, we wanted a more swift and direct response to using existing and current structures to the appalling situation and the upsurge of violence resulting from this conflict. So there was the time issue involved that we didn't think it was appropriate to allow for a new and further investigation having regard to current existing UN structures. And secondly, we had problems with the text. We wanted to include all violent acts on all sides, including Hamas and other militant groups in the region. We refer to the fact that the resolution failed to recognise the right of Israel as a democratic state in the region to defend itself. And we worked quite intensely all day long with and in partnership with our European colleagues and others to try and bring about a balanced resolution. That didn't prove possible. And there are times in the context of a 4- and 5-page document when it isn't possible to perfect the text in a way that we would thought.
You talk there about using the current structures, but isn't the problem at the moment that the normal approach isn't working? We saw that yesterday with the shelling of a UN school, something a senior UN official described to us earlier as a trend.
That's very true, and that's why I have clearly and consistently condemned the upsurge in violence. And on Tuesday, at the Foreign Affairs Council in Brussels, we played a very important and active role in ensuring that the European Union, with a voice of 28 states, in unison for the first time, condemning the very high level of casualty rate resulting from actions. And that is important in the context of ensuring that we're going forward firmly within the European Union and firmly within the UN. And there are times when we won't get all that we would like out of these discussions.
But are you getting anything at the moment? Isn't the EU being ignored?
What Ireland is doing, on the one hand bilaterally, and on the other hand through the UN and the EU, is doing everything in our power to ensure that we can halt this cycle of violence. Last week, I met with the Israeli ambassador. I conveyed to him in no uncertain terms the deep concern on the part of the Irish people at the appalling level of casualties in Gaza. Yesterday, I had the opportunity of meeting face-to-face with representatives of the Arab League. I had a first-hand engagement with the Palestinian representative. I spoke to the Egyptian embassy. It's important that we, as a neutral country, with significant influence, do all we can in order to mould this process, because the absolute priority is
the thing is, do we have
an end to all violence?
Do we have any influence at the moment? I mean, what would you say to those within the government who believed that the abstention was a mistake? For instance, Derek Nolan of the Labour Party says it was time for Ireland to use its own independent voice to express its own concerns, and his colleague Michael McCarthy said we have a moral duty to protect the most vulnerable.
We have, and I don't disagree with either of those, because we're continuing in Ireland to pursue a two-track approach. Firstly, from a humanitarian, an urgent point of view, that we're keeping the needs of the people of Gaza under continuous review. Earlier this week, we added a further €500,000 in terms of humanitarian aid to the not insubstantial 10 million a year assistance program that Ireland gives to the people of Gaza. This money earlier this week will go directly towards food, towards shelter, towards ensuring that the appalling losses can be in some small way dealt with. Also, on the political track, there's an urgent need for a ceasefire to allow the talking begin. I discussed this, as I said yesterday, with the Egyptian representatives, and if we can achieve this, this is only a stepping stone towards enduring what is the two-state solution. We have a recurring problem in Gaza every few years now, and you know, this crisis, however appalling that it is, it's not the first such crisis, and what we have to do is to hope that this is going to be the last one and that the underlying issues which contribute to the violence can be dealt with.
On the current situation, you mentioned there a few moments ago that you spoke to the Israeli ambassador last week. Is it time maybe to call him in again?
I will contact the Israeli ambassador again today. I will continue to impress upon him the need to ensure that the deep sense of annoyance and grievance on the part of the Irish people is conveyed.
And would you accept that many people who would normally be loath to criticise Israel have been appalled by what they've witnessed over the past couple of weeks?
That's true, but I believe it must be in the context of the right of Israel as a democratic state to defend itself and to defend its territory. But we in Ireland have to be clear-sighted here, because our voice, and this is important in the context of the EU foreign ministers meeting on Tuesday, which I attended, and the UN meeting in Geneva on Wednesday, our voice is stronger and our influence greater if we use it firmly within these institutions. There are times we won't get all we like in these discussions, but the best contribution that we can make is to ensure that both the EU and the UN are strong and effective players in adding our voice.
So you have no regrets about the abstention the other day?
Situation.
You have no regrets about the abstention the other day? You still believe that was the right decision?
I believe that it was an opportunity lost, because the resolution, it could have been stronger, it could have been better, but we now have it. And, you know, we'll now move forward within the context of what we have. I was interested earlier this morning to hear UN Representative Robert Turner. When pressed on this particular point, he agreed fully with our stance that any UN resolution in the context of Geneva should have, and would in our view have been better, had it included reference to all violent acts on all sides, including Hamas and other militant groups who are causing real and serious problems in the area.
Just again on that point, I know you've spoken in the past about attitudes towards Israel and the Palestinians in this country. Indeed, you told the Sunday Independent last year that Israel had been demonised by an Irish media who were content to dance to the Palestinian drumbeat. Is that still your view?
Well, listen, this conflict is serving nobody's interests, and it needs to be brought to an end as speedily and as quickly as possible, and there needs to be accountability for what has occurred. And that's why we will continue to call for investigations into breaches of all humanitarian law. We will continue to be clear and consistent in our condemnation of violence resulting from this conflict and from whatever source. And this includes rockets fired by Hamas, and it also includes Israeli military actions, which have resulted in a huge and unacceptable level of civilian casualties.
And again, just to be clear on that, you mentioned the Israeli ambassador. You will be talking to him again today. Is that your intention?
I expect to speak to him this morning, with particular reference to what happened yesterday in Gaza, which to my mind is utterly unacceptable. And I will be impressing upon him the need to ensure that Israel plays its part in bringing about an end to the unacceptable level of violence. We must remember, Rachel, last week I was very pleased, having had an opportunity of speaking to the Egyptian foreign minister. Egypt put forward a proposal for a ceasefire. It was accepted by Israel. Unfortunately and regrettably, it was rejected by Hamas. The Israel embassy assured to me yesterday at a meeting that proposal is still on the table.
All right. So as you know, that was a contentious issue, and there was a lot of disagreement about what was on offer and what wasn't on offer. But we'll leave it at that. Thank you very much indeed for taking our call this morning. That was the Foreign Affairs Minister, Charlie Flanagan.